I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is October 25th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's story, Hemant Mehta, also known as the Friendly Atheist, interviews Christian attorney Robert Wilson. Hemant begins by asking, "Are you really a lawyer? What kind of law do you practice?" Wilson replies, "Yes, I really am a lawyer. I graduated from Baylor University School of Law in 1986. I have been practicing in Texas since that time. I have had my own law firm since 1990. My practice is mainly commercial litigation trial law that involves business disputes, real estate, employment law, civil rights law, and some family law. I practice in state and federal court. I also do pro bono work for nonprofits and churches that includes issues related to religious liberty and pro-life issues." Hey Wilson, you left something out. Why didn't you tell Hemant about the pro bono church work you do related to denying gay Americans equal rights under the 14th Amendment? Hemant asks, "With all of that, how does your faith play out in your everyday life?" Wilson replies, "My faith is a large part of my life." Wilson, faith is the five-letter F word, and like the four-letter F word, should be bleeped out whenever spoken. Wilson continues, "I try to live my faith daily in the decisions I make and how I treat others. I pray daily and read my Bible." Wilson, rather than spending countless hours talking to an invisible ghost and studying an ancient book filled with gruesome bloody fairy tales, think of all you could have accomplished had you used that time more productively. Instead of becoming a lawyer, you might have actually made something of yourself. Wilson wrote, "I try to follow Christ's teachings of grace, love, and forgiveness." Bullshit, Wilson. Riddle me this. When you tried to cheat a fellow attorney out of nearly $70,000, was that after you prayed to Jesus, asking him if it was okay to screw the guy? Or did you just figure that Jesus wouldn't notice because he was so busy over in the Middle East? And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I supplied a link to the story of this Texas dispute. Fortunately, Wilson, the court stepped in and spanked you right across your Jesus Speedos, and the guy was finally awarded what you owed him. Wilson wrote, "I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes." And here's another mistake, Wilson, and I provided him a link to the Governor Perry amicus brief. You seem to have forgotten about that one, Wilson. Odd. It was filed only 2 months before this interview with Hemant. That brief tells us everything we need to know about you, Wilson. It tells us who your friends are, like anti-American secessionist Rick Perry and his equally putrid shower buddy, Greg Abbott. It tells us what you believe: equality, but only for Americans who submit to living their lives the way you tell them to. And it tells us what lengths you will go to in order to force those beliefs upon others. Wilson continues, "I am in seminary currently, obtaining my master's degree in biblical studies. I don't think I will become a pastor." Wilson, that's too bad. I'm sure you could have used the raise, you know, to help pay off that $66,725 debt that you owe. Wilson wrote, "But I do know that these studies will help me in the mission work that I do through our Family Foundation. This is mainly conducted in Africa, Liberia, and Uganda." Hey, Wilson, in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, guess what the main mission work of Christians was in Liberia, Uganda, Nigeria, and other African countries? Let me give you a hint. They supplied something that every good Christian home in the South could not do without. Give up? Wilson continues. It includes church planting, supporting an orphanage and school, and providing health care through equipment, supplies, medicine, training, and medical team visits. Wilson, how thoughtful! Yet you and your conservative buddies do everything in your power to deny Americans the health care that you claim to lavish on your former slave colonies. That is so precious. Hemet asks, "What's your religious background?" Wilson replies, "I am a religious mutt. My parents were Lutheran and Baptist. I was born while they were deciding where to attend church, and so I was baptized Methodist. I was raised in a Lutheran church and went to a Baptist university. As an adult, I was confirmed as a Catholic and went to a Catholic church for a number of years. I now attend a non-denominational church. This church and the seminary I am in follows free grace theology, which I believe is the correct interpretation of the Bible and of Christ's teachings." Wilson, that is also the perfect theological position for a lawyer. If salvation were based on works instead of faith alone, you could spend eternity looking under every cloud in heaven and be damn lucky to find a lawyer. It is so convenient that the biblical interpretations of Christians always seem to justify what they want God to be rather than the other way around. What a coinkydink, huh, Wilson? I skipped the next question. Here is the one after it. Hemet asks, "What is your philosophy when it comes to church-state separation? When, if ever, do you support it? Where do you think atheists get it wrong?" Wilson replies, "I do believe in the separation of church and state. In no way do I think that we have a theocracy, nor would I want one." Wilson, your amicus brief proves that you will take legal action, if necessary, to impose your Christian beliefs on our civil laws. That is what a theocracy is. So not only is theocracy constantly attacking our democracy, but you are part of that attack, Wilson. Wilson continues, "I think that atheists get this issue wrong because they ignore the reason why there is a separation." Wilson, thanks for conceding that there is a separation. If you want to argue over why, be my guest. He wrote, "It is not to protect the government from the church. It is to protect the church from the government." Fine, Wilson. If that makes you feel better, good for you. All I care about is that you concede what Christian dominionists dispute, that there even is a separation. Wilson wrote, "In other words, the protection is to allow people to freely practice their faith unless the state can show there is a reason for the limitation that cannot be handled in a less intrusive manner." Wilson, if we allowed you Christians to freely practice your faith, we would have to give you back your slaves. Do you remember why your home state of Texas rebelled against Mexico, Wilson? It was because Mexico, like most of the world in 1836, was becoming civilized and modern, and so they outlawed slavery. But the Texas mentality was still mired in the biblical dark ages, and they refused to free their African slaves. With the aid of the United States, Texas broke free from Mexico. That got them 24 more years of free labor, until the Civil War forced the Confederacy to join the modern world by freeing humans from bondage. And I provided him a link to the history of slavery in Texas. That is just one example of many where modern civilization has taken away what you call your religious freedoms. Now we are working on taking away others, such as preventing you head cases from genitally mutilating your baby boys. Modern humans are finally starting to stand up and fight back against the horrors enshrined in your holy book. Enjoy them while you can, Wilson. He wrote, "This also means, of course, that government cannot establish a religion because it would preclude the free exercise by those that are of a different religion or affect those that have no religion." Wilson, I have a solution that will help you see through that religious blindfold you're wearing. Let's have our government install Islam as our official religion. I see several advantages to this. The price of gas should plummet. We'll be able to vacation safely in all those great Mideast travel destinations. And most importantly, vast numbers of American citizens, meaning Christians, will become staunch supporters of the separation of church and state. It will be amazing to see how rational and clear-thinking Christians suddenly become when they get to feel what it's like to be on the other side. Wilson continues, "Atheists, however, take this to mean that any mention of religion or faith equals establishment of religion, and the reaction is to complain." Wilson, nice straw man argument. You need to present specific examples if you expect a response to your assertions. He wrote, "They ignore that we do have a history of religion in our country, even in public life, involving our government." Wilson, they can't ignore it. Christians push it in everyone's face everywhere you go. There are Christian movies, TV shows. Hell, they even have entire Christian broadcasting networks. How many Muslim networks in America can you name? How many atheist networks? Can you even name an atheist TV show? And I wouldn't be bragging about the history of religion in America if I were you. Hordes of invading Christians murdered millions of indigenous people and stole all their land, then imported millions of human slaves to make them fabulously rich, all while burning thousands of women at the stake and discriminating against other religions, including Jews and other Christians, such as Catholics and Mormons. There is a reason why Christians are doing everything in their power in a desperate attempt to rewrite American history, because they don't like the way it came out the first time. Wilson continues, "So if the government acknowledges this heritage and recognizes that the vast majority of people in this country are people of faith, they view this as the establishment of religion, when it is not in most cases." Wilson, acknowledging heritage and recognizing demographics isn't the problem. Forcing Christian privilege upon the 25% of Americans who don't share your beliefs, that is the problem. Wilson wrote, "Atheists also go too far in trying to prevent individuals from expressing their own faith in the public arena, including those who are public officials." Wilson, it isn't atheists who are doing that. It is our Constitution which is doing that. If that were not true, Christian myths would not have been kicked out of our science classes. History classes would have to conform to the special interpretations of David Barton, and Bible study would still be a required course. And Wilson, about those Ten Commandments that you ghost worshipers keep putting up all over the place, I have a question. Why do you always post the first set of commandments? You know, the ones that Moses smashed. They were in effect for what? 1, maybe 2 weeks? How come you never find posted anywhere in America the permanent set of commandments that we are supposed to be living our lives by, the ones that God gave Moses in Exodus 34 to replace the broken set? Wilson, answer me. Is this microphone on? Wilson wrote, "When atheists complain about faith being mentioned in the public square, the reaction of people of faith is that atheists are attempting to silence any reference to religion outside of the four walls of the church and to limit religious liberty to the right to belief and worship." So, Wilson, why do you feel entitled to more than the right to belief and worship? Your faith certainly doesn't grant those rights to non-Christians, as they will be punished with eternal torture if they dare to exercise those rights. Your vile religion attacks innocent Americans. And then, when the victims try to defend themselves, or others try to come to their aid, Christians scream that it is their religious freedom which is being violated. You don't have the religious freedom to hurt others, as you once did. Modern laws are finally beginning to reel in Christian atrocities. In some cases, it took force, like the Civil War. In others, it required the passing of laws, such as suffrage. And in other cases, the enforcement of laws, such as the removal of school-sponsored prayer. Wilson continues, "The constitutional protection of religious liberty goes beyond merely freedom to worship and freedom to believe. It allows people to express their faith in public." Wilson, the right to express your horrid morality in public is guaranteed by the Constitution. That is protected speech. You have the same rights as neo-Nazis and fascists to say the meanest things you want and to call others all kinds of horrible names, as you people often do. The fact that you choose to do so is a psychiatric matter. He wrote, "including in how they operate their businesses." Wilson, the courts have been seeing it otherwise for centuries. Assuming you earned your JD from an accredited institution, you should know that. However, I will grant you that the recent slew of Supreme Court decisions, including the Hobby Lobby debacle, was a serious blow to our Constitution by the conservative majority, who erased any question as to whether they will honor their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution or whether they answer to a higher power. Wilson wrote, "This, of course, does have limitations, so I am not saying it is absolute." I skip the next question. Here is the one after. Hemet asked, "Do you think you've convinced any commenters to come around to your way of thinking?" Wilson replied, "I am not naive enough to think I have convinced any of the commentators to become Christians, at least from those that comment regularly. And I do not think many of them will be accepting Christ, though I truly and sincerely pray for them to, or will now vote conservative based upon my arguments." Wilson, a conservative? Anyone who looks over the list of appellants on your amicus brief can see the kind of people whom you associate with. It reads like a who's who of bigoted hate groups. Let's look at just one of them. Concerned Women for America. According to Rational Wiki, quote, "Their anti-gay myth spreading, such as equating homosexuality with pedophilia, and downplaying numbers of homophobic hate crimes has resulted in them being labeled as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey, Wilson, have you noticed that many of the positions that you and your conservative friends hold and the teachings of Jesus are total opposites? If Jesus were alive today and he converted to Islam, I have no doubt he would attend one of your meetings as a suicide bomber. After all, we all know he'll be back in 3 days anyway. Wilson wrote, "But what I do hope is that I have shown them a different way to view Christians." Actually, Wilson, your amicus brief showed them that they pretty much had you people figured out correctly from the get-go. Though millions of Christians may be wonderful people, Christianity is a disgusting religion full of blood, death, threats, violence, misogyny, homophobia, racism, slavery, genocide, and shellfish. He wrote that I have corrected some misconceptions about the faith and that I have made them think more about their positions. Good point, Wilson. Your amicus brief probably did make them think about their positions and likely convinced them that they need to fight even harder against the intolerance, bigotry, and elitist mentality that represents the evangelical Christian mind. Now Hemet asks, have I ever written anything that made you think, okay, you win this round? Have I shaken your faith at all? Wilson replies, I cannot say that I have read anything that has caused me to question my faith. Wilson, you have already admitted that you are a free grace theologist. That means that you believe it is only through belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ that you will get to live forever. There is no argument on earth that will make you put your eternal soul at risk. Atheists cannot help people like you. Atheists debate you, not because you are savable, but because many of those who follow these debates are. Eventually, some of them find the courage to stand up against the horrible threats of an invisible, evil monster. You, Wilson, have already proven that you cannot. The religion virus is fatal in most humans. There is nothing more we can do for you, Wilson. He wrote, you and the commentators have, however, raised issues that forced me to conduct research, and I view this as very helpful. Wilson, let me translate what you just said from lawyer speak into the truth. You and your commenters have raised issues which I cannot honestly answer. And that forced me to find Christian apologetic websites where they provide semi-rational, specious responses that occasionally come close to addressing some of those issues. He wrote, I will say I appreciate the posts about Christians behaving badly. I love my faith and I love the Universal Christian Church, and I hate to see people's behavior distracting from its message. Wilson, you should have been around during the Crusades, during the witch burnings in Europe and America, during the Holocaust, during colonization and the spreading of the Christian message. Too bad you missed all the good stuff before Christianity was dragged, kicking and screaming, out of the Dark Ages. Today, if we want to get an idea of what life was like for centuries under Christian domination, we have to look at radical Islam. Ah, such fond memories. Hemet asks, which famous Christians do you see your faith lining up with? Wilson replies, my theology is in line with Charles Swindoll, Tony Evans, and Max Lucado. Wilson, my theology is in line with most living creatures on earth. Even bacteria aren't as stupid as humans. Hemet asks, do you ever comment on any other atheist blogs? Wilson replied, I rarely comment on other blogs. Hemant asks, are there any well-known atheists you respect despite your disagreement with them? Wilson replies, I respected the wit, intellect, and speaking ability of Christopher Hitchens, even though he took some positions that I strongly disagreed with. I respect Bill Gates and Richard Branson for their philanthropic work. I am not just saying this because I'm talking to you, but I also respect your work in trying to bridge the relationship gap between people of faith and atheists, and for raising funds for good causes, even if those that are receiving the funds disagree with you on this issue. Wilson, you ended on such a good note that I was almost tempted to take back many of the things I said to you, and then I reread your amicus brief. Wilson, I think that tells us more about you than everything else you said. And now we move to the science segment. Today, making oxygen before there was life. About 1/5 of Earth's atmosphere is oxygen, pumped out by green plants as a result of photosynthesis and used by most living things on the planet to keep our metabolisms running. But before the first photosynthesizing organisms appeared about 2.4 billion years ago, the atmosphere likely contained mostly carbon dioxide, as is the case today on Mars and Venus. Over the past 40 years, researchers have thought that there must have been a small amount of oxygen in the early atmosphere. Where did this abiotic oxygen come from? Oxygen reacts quite aggressively with other compounds, so it would not persist for long without some continuous source. Now researchers have shown that oxygen can be formed in one step by using a high-energy vacuum ultraviolet laser to excite carbon dioxide. The experiments were performed by using a unique ion imaging apparatus. The same process can be applied in other carbon dioxide-dominated atmospheres, such as Mars and Venus. Such one-step oxygen formation could be happening now as carbon dioxide increases in the region of the upper atmosphere where high-energy vacuum ultraviolet light from the sun hits Earth or other planets. It is the first time that such a reaction has been shown in the laboratory. This result means that models of the evolution of planetary atmospheres will now have to be adjusted to take this into account. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, John F. Kennedy. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here is the quote from JFK. I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act, and no Protestant minister would tell his parishioners for whom to vote, where no church or church school is granted any public funds or political preference, and where no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him or the people who might elect him.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking!